This morning, though, we're going to continue in our series, Lean. We looked at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 last week as we started this new series. It was just our springboard text. We're going to continue to look at that each and every week. Remember, last week I encouraged you to start memorizing this particular passage. Just put it somewhere in your home so it can be prevalent, so that you can take this passage and keep it in your mind. And we'll get to it in just a little bit, but we said last week as we looked at this passage that we, as we learn to lean on Jesus, our faith continues to grow, but we have to learn to lean on Him in all things. And we do so by learning to trust Him, by not leaning on our own understanding, but acknowledging Him. And if we do this, His promise is that He will make our paths straight. That's the passage. That's Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. So continue to look at that and try and commit that to memory and allow that to grow in your heart. But this morning, I have a confession to make. My name's Donnie, and I worry. And I don't know if anybody else in here ever worries about anything, but there are times in my life that I can worry. And I'm sure some of you can relate with that. Anybody in here? I just want us to be really honest with each other this morning, okay? Anybody in here ever in their life worry about anything at any time? Anybody? Dan, you're the only one that don't. Oh, there you are. No, I'm kidding. Okay. I know we all worry. We worry about all kinds of different things. If you're a parent, you worry about your kids. If you're married, you worry about your spouse. Because you're born, you probably worry about your parents at different times. Some of us, we worry about our jobs, job security, if we're performing our jobs right. We worry about bills. Are we going to make, you know, we're going to have enough to pay these this month, or we're going to have to cancel something else? Maybe we worry about our house. Is it falling down? Is it in need of repair? Maybe you worry about your car, if it'll get you from this town to the next. Some of you are worried about health. And I'm sure that we've all worried at one time or another. And the liberating thing is that puts us all on equal ground. And here's what I mean by that. Has anybody, I'm not trying to be funny, but has anybody ever overeaten? I'm serious. I have. Okay? Has anybody ever lied? Okay, there's some of you in here not raising your hand and you're lying right now. Okay? If we're really honest, we've done all these things. And here's where we're all on equal ground. And I understand this is a sensitive topic as we talk about worry, as we talk about anxiety. But you see, worry and anxiety, they're sin. And that's not popular in our day and age. And I know, personally, that we can be defensive when our sins are pointed out, but worry is sin. Jesus tells us, actually, He commands us not to worry. And I want to encourage you not to be defensive about this. We all struggle with sin, just different ones. And this sermon today is like almost all the sermons I do. It's for me because worry, anxiety, is something that I can struggle with from time to time. And I could blame it on some weird quirks I have, or I could blame it on chemical imbalances or trauma from my childhood. But when you boil it all down, it's sin. The fact that I have sin in my mind and my heart every day, Paul tells us that in Romans 3:23. It's a very real experience. I've come a long way in this in my life, but I realize I still have a long road ahead of me. Not as far as some of you, but a lot further than others of you. And I know that. Worry and anxiety happen when I'm living defensively. And that means I'm leaning on my own understanding. It happens when I don't acknowledge God and when I don't trust Him. Now, peace and joy, well, that happens as we live proactively, when we're leaning on Jesus Christ, when we're acknowledging God in everything, when we're trusting God in all our ways. You see, when I lean on Jesus, I don't have to worry. When you lean on Jesus, you don't have to worry. But we have to learn this over time through learning to trust God and acknowledge God. And God's Word has a lot to say about worry and how we can overcome it through trusting Jesus. So if you have a Bible this morning, I want to encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Jesus is sharing this Sermon on the Mount. So hopefully you have a Bible with you. If you don't, there should be one in one of the chairs around you. If you don't own a Bible, just put your name in that one. We want to invite you to take that one home with you. That's our gift to you. This is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Hey, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? This is kind of harsh right here. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I believe you can plainly see that the main point of this text is that the disciples of Jesus should not be anxious. They shouldn't be anxious about anything. Three different times Jesus gives the command, and it's the same type of command that he gives when he says, do not look at a woman lustfully. That's a command. Do not lie. That's a command. Do not hate. Do not murder. All these things, those are commands. And right here, he uses this same command to say, do not be anxious about your life in verse 25. Do not be anxious saying, what shall we eat? In verse 31. And in verse 34, do not be anxious about tomorrow. So one thing should ring clear in your ears when you leave this morning, namely, when I lean on Jesus, I don't have to worry. I don't have to be anxious about anything. He commands me not to be anxious. Many people, even those who are very strong in their faith, can worry. But listen, we can overcome worry and anxiety. If we couldn't, I don't believe Jesus would command us, don't worry. We live in a fallen world, though, and that gives us lots to worry about. You see, when Adam and Eve broke covenant with God, many relationships were severed. The relationship between man and God was severed. The relationship between man and nature was severed. Between man and man, this is why we can argue and fuss and fight. That relationship was severed. And the relationship between man and self was severed, which means that we can have issues with ourselves, like anxiety, like worry. And it's the result of Adam's sin. God told Adam, In Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, he said, "You must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will certainly die." Now, we know that Adam didn't drop dead right that second. But what happened was that relationships died from that moment on. He died in many ways. And one of those ways is that he died emotionally. Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree, and they heard God in the cool of the day. Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 records Adam's response to God's calling out for him. Adam said, "I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." This is the first time the word afraid appears in Scripture. Unfortunately, it's not the last. This word afraid or fear appears over 200 times in Scripture. This is the Hebrew word yare, and it means to be in a state of feeling great distress. Anybody ever relate with that? Deep concern of pain or unfavorable circumstance. That's what this word means. This one act by Adam and Eve introduced to all mankind a brand new emotion, a brand new mindset, anxiety, worry. Whether it's personal concerns, family matters, financial needs, health issues, governmental policies, or global conditions, we all have reasons to worry and fret. Sometimes critical situations, hey, they're going to strike fear immediately in our hearts, and that's only natural. However, much of our anxiety is associated with everyday problems. We take our worries to bed with us. We wake up with them. We carry them around in our backpack of burdens all day long. This is not how God wants his disciples to live. He doesn't want us living with anxiety. He doesn't want us to worry about everything. Instead, he wants us to experience his peace and his joy in our lives. And we trade that in because we worry. We have anxiety. We know that anxiety and fear are nothing new. Like we said, it started with Adam and Eve. As a matter of fact, the psalmist says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret." And that little phrase, "be still," can actually be translated rest. Rest before the Lord and wait for him. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret. There was plenty to be anxious about in the Roman world when Jesus was delivering this particular Sermon on the Mount. People were being persecuted, starved out, crucified. And his solution in our passage is so simple, and yet so many of us struggle to apply it to our lives. Do not worry. Anxiety, as defined by Webster's Dictionary, says this: it's characterized by extreme uneasiness of mind or brooding fear about some contingency. So it sounds like anxiety is a condition in which the mind is being pulled in two directions. That's what happens. This results in an emotional state of distress that dominates our thoughts. It interrupts our sleep. It disturbs our eating habits. It could be fueled by present circumstances of fear, or it could be a fear of what is in the future, the things we know nothing about. It's basically a reaction to our circumstances, but it's also a choice. Instead of giving in to worry, we can, in the words of the Apostle Peter, cast all our anxiety on the Lord because he cares for us. Scripture gives us that great promise. So what this means is that you and I, we have to come to a place where we really believe this. This is about the discipleship of the mind as much as it is about anything else, which means we have to be transformed. That means we have to look differently. We have to approach life differently, transformed by the renewing of what happens between our ears, by the renewing of our minds. As we start to change our thoughts, as we start to change our thought process, we can start to change the way we react toward different situations and different stresses in life. Worry, what it does is it takes our focus off Christ and places it on circumstances. And when this happens, we stop worshiping and start worrying. That's why Jesus addresses this. He wants his disciples to lean on him. He doesn't want them to lean on their own understanding. He wants them to lean on him. Listen, I want to make sure that you don't misunderstand me at all. Listen, if you are physically sick or injured, I would encourage you to seek medical help because it's available and it's helpful. And if you are emotionally injured, I want to encourage you to seek help because it's available and it's helpful. I believe that. Leaning on Jesus doesn't mean you can't seek out the help you need. It means you trust in him and what he provides. And if he is providing counsel, if he is providing medication, then seek it out and get it. That's what he's providing, just like he does in the medical field. In this passage this morning, Jesus points out why we worry and what we can do to change our response. We worry, first, when we feel powerless. We like to feel like we're in control. Many of us do. Like we can control everything around us. We like to get rid of uncertainty. So, problems can overwhelm us to the point that we feel insignificant and even incapable of doing anything about them. We feel powerless. Worry doesn't have the power to prevent anything bad from happening in your life. Did you know that? Worrying about something never solves anything. Also, the bad things that you worry about may never happen, and many good things may happen instead. And so we've spent all that time worrying about something that's never going to happen. So worry is completely useless. I just want you to know that. Worrying is completely useless. Worrying doesn't benefit you in any way. It does harm you in many ways. Worry harms your health physically. It can contribute to high blood pressure. I have it. It can contribute to insomnia. Some of you have it. It can contribute to a whole host of things. It disrupts us mentally. It affects our mental health. We can have negative thought after negative thought just running into our mind. Our enemy, the devil, Satan, he likes to put those negative thoughts in our mind. I believe worry comes from him. I believe it's his attack on the peace and joy that we can have through Jesus Christ. It can harm us spiritually by encouraging fear rather than faith in God if we're not careful. Worry also wastes valuable time and energy that you could be using for other things. As an example, Jesus says, hey, I want you to look at these birds in the air. That's what he says in verse 26. They're small little creatures. They're helpless little things. They can't even plant food. They can't harvest food. They can't store it away, but they eat. God cares for them, and he cares for us. But we have to believe this. We really have to believe this. And we have to trust God in this. We have to give this over to him. Jesus gives us the promise that we're even more valuable than the birds of the air. Well, if we're more valuable than the birds of the air and God provides for them, will he not provide for us? Let's stop the worry and let's trust in him. Jesus reminds us that many situations are beyond our ability to overpower. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? It's verse 27. Whenever we encounter circumstances that we're powerless to change, the only wise option is to turn it over to the one who can actually do something about it, and that's God. When we try to control them, we're demonstrating unbelief and multiplying our intensity, the intensity of our pain and our frustration. Listen, God doesn't need us, but he wants us. He wants all our baggage. He wants all our burdens, all our worries. He wants all our anxieties. Because he has such a passionate love for us. And because of that love, we can trust in him completely. We lean on him, or we learn this as we transform our minds. And we trust in his power, not in our power, over all things. We worry also when we start to trust in ourselves. Since God wants the best for us, is always with us, and has the power to do anything, we can trust any anxious situation to Him. We can invite Him to work it out for the best. Remember our passage that we're memorizing this month. It's our springboard passage for the whole series. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll make your paths straight." When you struggle to trust God with something that's worrying you, ask God to reveal whatever unbelief or whatever unhealed wound may be preventing you from trusting Him completely. And confess those to God and ask Him to give you the faith and healing you need. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop bad things from happening. They're just going to happen because you live in a fallen world. However, you do have the choice of how you respond to whatever happens. Again, it's being transformed by the renewing of our minds. You can decide to stop dwelling on the worrisome thoughts after they enter your mind and pray about those thoughts instead, inviting God to work in the situation about which you've been worrying. Choose to pray instead of worrying. This week, you guys know, or most of you know, that we do a devotion every morning together as a staff before we jump off and get to doing what we need to do for the day. And this week, in one of our devotions, Caitlin was sharing with us how she deals with anxiety because she, like me and like many of you, can worry. And she gave me permission to share this with you, and that's that she has anxiety. As a matter of fact, she encouraged me to share this with you. She takes medication for it. She's been through counseling for that. And so she understands this passage better than I do. She knows that when she is feeling anxious and overwhelmed, that her focus isn't where it needs to be. She admits she needs to focus on Jesus and worship Him instead of trusting in herself and being consumed with worry. And she also said, if anybody wants to talk to her about that, she'd love to talk to you about that. So after explaining how God clothes the lilies of the field with more glory than even Solomon, Jesus exhorts us not to worry about clothing because He will provide whatever we need. When we worry that our needs won't be met and we start trusting in ourselves, we start to demonstrate a lack of faith in God. Part of our problem is that we don't know what our needs truly are. Some of us just don't know what our needs are. Sometimes the situation may look like God's let us down. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like God's let you down? In reality, He's supplying a need that we may not even know we have. If you would you turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7? Please turn there. The Apostle Paul suffered a lot. He suffered a lot. He was mistreated a lot. He went through a lot of hardships. And Scripture never records him complaining about his circumstances. Shipwrecks and beatings were not happy times for Paul, but he endured them with inner peace and confidence because he knew and trusted the Lord, not himself. So listen to Paul's transformed mind in the face of anxious circumstances. He's in prison, facing a death sentence for his belief in Jesus Christ, and this is what he says: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul has this attitude while in prison, facing death. And he says, rejoice. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in God. Acknowledge him in all things. Rejoice in the Lord. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, we worry when we live for the future. It's the final one. We worry when we live for the future. Planning ahead, yeah, that's a good thing. But sometimes our overloaded calendars lead to an overwhelming sense of pressure. And Jesus tells us, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Anybody agree with that? Each day has enough trouble of its own. Worry focuses our attention on the future, anticipating, looking for the negative events that may or may not happen. And even if they did happen, you couldn't do anything about it. So decide to live in the present. Decide to embrace this moment, taking one day at a time, trusting that he will empower you to handle every anxious situation that comes your way. Instead of becoming anxious about our responsibilities and our commitments, we should turn our schedules over to God. If we'll wake up each morning with our thoughts on the Lord, committing ourselves to do whatever he says, we'll be able to go through the day with peace and joy as we watch him work out everything. So here's the very simple solution. To overcome worry, we need to lean on Jesus. Simple. To overcome worry, we have to lean on Jesus. You ever think about what it is to lean on something? When you're tired and you can't hold yourself up anymore, you lean up against the wall. You lean on a chair. You lay back. That's what Christ wants us to do. Some of us are exhausted. We've worried ourselves sick and into exhaustion. Lean. Put your weight on him. Instead of focusing on obtaining the necessities of life, Jesus tells us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God's kingdom is his rule and his authority over our lives. And his righteousness is Christ's character worked out in us in such a way that we reflect Jesus to those around us. When we make it our top priority to acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, seeking to walk obediently in his ways, trusting his truth, God promises to supply whatever else we need. He knows exactly what's best for us, as well as how and when to provide it. If you're not content with your life the way it is right now, you can be prone to worry. And so what I want to encourage you to do is to ask God to teach you to be content with whatever circumstances you encounter. Focus on the fact that God is always with you. Learn to place your confidence in God's goodness. Trust him to accomplish good purposes through whatever type of circumstances you go through at any given time. And then create a new habit. Make it a habit of noticing the many ways that God is blessing you every day. Take a minute and just thank God for the blessings that are apparent in your life. There are so many things that we can thank God for. We can thank him that he walks with us through hard times, that he protects and provides. We can thank him that he always keeps his promises because he is a faithful God. And when we focus on these things, God's peace guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, no matter how difficult our circumstances may be. He's promised to meet all our needs and to guard us with his peace and joy. So the choice, it's ours. We can either live with mistrust and anxiety or trust the Lord with all our hearts to provide and watch over us. He has all the power to meet your needs, and he has the omniscience to know what's best. May not be what you'd like, but his ways are always right, and his motive is always love. Now, if this is something that you struggle with in your life, we really want to help. We have counselors that we can put you in touch with if that's something you need. We have people in our church who have worked through this and are working through this in their life. And they said, yeah, hey, I'm willing to help out others struggling with anxiety, struggling with worry. Just imagine worrying less tomorrow than you did today. Lean on Jesus. Pray for his peace to shatter the chains of worry and anxiety.